So welcome, episode 109 of Podcast Peldroy. My name is Russell, and via the wonders of Tim Berners-Lee's internet, via Brno in the Czech Republic, is Ralph Davis. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Russ?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. We're just testing the levels, and you were saying that the weather's been glorious there. It's been absolute garbage in Cardiff today. So, but I think it's going to be pretty good on Tuesday when the Czechs come to town, and that's basically the purpose of the conversation. So it's the Sunday night, just to be kind of clear, to give people a sense of the timing and helping them maybe orientate how we're talking about the games, this current kind of international window. It's the Sunday evening, and the Czechs have got two qualifiers under their belt. Obviously, we've just got the one, played Mexico as well. But it's a look ahead to the Czech Republic coming to the Cardiff City Stadium on Tuesday. They look like they've got off to a decent start. And we're going to invite you to give us a bit of a lowdown, a bit of an insight. People will be familiar, maybe, for example, with, you know, a couple of the players that are playing in the Premier League. For example, you know, Suchek at West Ham is probably on, you know, the top of everyone's list in that respect. But, you know, who may be some of the other players as well. So you're going to give us that insight. But, yeah, I mean, before we do that, I mean, what did you make of us in the Belgium game, Ralph? And maybe the Mexico game, assuming you saw that as well.
In the Belgium game, I thought we didn't do too badly. I mean, we're up against, you know, the best team in the world, but We just made like some very simple mistakes. If you look at the first goal, you know, we didn't kind of close down De Bruyne. And in the second goal, it was a cross that came in and Conor Roberts slipped. The penalty was unfortunate as well. So I actually think we kind of, like, you know, we should be quite happy with that performance. I mean, the best we wanted was a draw. And you know, to lose 3-1, okay, it's disappointing. But be honest, we were kind of expecting, I mean, really, I was expecting that we wouldn't get anything from that particular game. And the Mexico game, it was really surprising. You know, like, I mean, you know, so many great performances. I thought Matt Smith was excellent. Ben Cabango as well. It was great to see Hennessy back in goal. Yeah, and a lovely, lovely finish from Keitha. So, to be honest, going into Tuesday, if we can make the right changes, I think we have a chance. But I mean, I want to talk about the Czechs, and the Czechs are on form at the moment, Russ. I mean, I have to say that they're on form, and that's worrying.
Yeah. So Swansea boy originally. So it helped us sort of set the scene for people listening. I mean, people will no doubt, a number of listening to this will follow you on Twitter as well, Ralph Davis One, of course. But how does a Swansea lad find himself in Brno in the Czech Republic?
God, do you know, like, we could be here for an hour and a half talking about it, but it was actually, do you know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about the infamous Moldova trip, but meeting Mark Ainsbury chasing the dragon, he kind of like started talking about teaching abroad, and I got it in my head that I wanted to do it, and 20 years later, here I am, you know, still in Brno in the Czech Republic, and enjoying it. It's a great country, it's a really wonderful country to live in. And I couldn't imagine being anywhere else, you know, apart from Wales, of course. But I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. I can't see myself going anywhere else. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to bore the listeners with a long story. But I've been running a language school for the last 15 years in the Czech Republic, and it really is. It's a great job, and I've met some great people. And I'm here for the for the long run, I would say.
What sort of town or city is Brno? Is it a large place?
It's the second largest city in the Czech Republic. It's perfect. It's perfect for Central Europe. So it's perfect for travelling. It's an hour and a half from Vienna, an hour and a half from Bratislava, 2 hours from Prague. It's a former industrial town. They used to call it the Czech Manchester, because of the textile industry here. And these days it's very much a tech place. It's becoming more and more multicultural every day, which is great for the city. And it's beautiful. It's full of history. I think if I was to give one fact, I would say that the first electric lit theatre was in Brno in the Czech Republic. Edison even came over to oversee it himself. But it's worth a trip. I mean, hopefully the fans will be back and we'll be able to, people will be able to see it for themselves. But it's a beautiful city, lots happening, big student town. I live in the right place, I think.
Yeah, the Czech Manchester's not a bad comparison. Manchester's a great city. So yeah, my experience anyway. Yeah, yeah. So these Czechs then, they gave Estonia a good pumping on the opening evening of the group. Estonia, to my mind, aren't one of those, you know, real kind of true minnow. I mean, England played San Marino, didn't they, the other night? They're not one of those, that level of sort of minnow. But it is kind of hard as well when you look at Luxembourg winning in Dublin. It's a little bit difficult sometimes to judge where these nations are in the greater scheme of things. I guess like us as well, to a certain extent, you know, missing one or two players and suddenly they're you know, not quite the team that they can be. But, you know, 6 goals away from home looks pretty impressive. And then the Czechs go and draw one, well, take the lead as well, but then draw at home to Belgium, which, and I'm still not sure now whether that's a good result. I didn't know how we wanted that one to go. And I stuck it out on the Twitter and there was people kind of coming on. I just want Belgium to romp away with it. Because that's it, they're going to win, we've got the playoff. Others going, no, listen, you know, we can beat Belgium at home, so let's keep them pegged back, so I want a Czech win. And then others going, well, no, clearly it's a draw because, you know, they both dropped points, and I'm still not sure if that's a good result for us. I guess, you know, clearly time will tell. But if I was a Czech fan, I'm looking at that thinking, that's not a bad start of the campaign.
You know, I read the newspapers this morning, and the Czechs are really disappointed that they didn't come away with 3 points, because they were superb. I mean, talking about the Estonia game, I think we have to look at it. You know, Estonia had 5 players missing, and I think that was, you know, that was too large a gap for them to, you know, to fill. So they were full of debutants and players that have played a few games. And Czechs are very, very confident at the moment. They've qualified for the Euros. They've got a good team. But they really remind me. They're very, very similar to us, I think. They've got their stars in Solček and Sheik. And we've got our Bale and Ramsey. But they're very, very similar, you know, in the way that we play. They're very organised. And I think the game against Estonia, they just saw it as a chance to get some goals and some points on the board. And, you know, they really could have won by more than the 6-2. It could have been 8 or 9, you know. I mean, every time they attacked, it looked like they were going to score. And I think Estonia's heads went down. Game against Belgium. I watched that. I was watching it more than I was watching the Mexico-Wales game. Mexico game. And they had a chance right at the end where Solček came in, and he had a header cleared off the line. They hit the bar, they hit the post. I mean, the Czechs were excellent. I think apart from, I'd say, a 10-minute spell in the second half, I think Belgium were definitely second best. And this, Russell, this was without, you know, without their captain Derrida, who was in Germany because of you know, COVID restrictions, without Patrick Schick, who's, you know, like, was their striker up front. Just watching it, I was like, oh no. I don't want to put a damper on it. Because, you know, like, we can be brilliant on our day, but they're looking good.
And are they a different proposition away from home? Because we covered this in the little preview, Gaz and I, when we did it the other week, and it was hard to kind of know, because they'd lost in a friendly in Germany, but it was a bit of a, which is, you know, no great shame in that, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a first choice German 11 by any means. Of course, they had some disruption in their own Nations League campaign again, but I think due to COVID, if I remember, I think they could only pick domestic based players, couldn't they, for the game against Scotland? So maybe they didn't. They were struggling to get into a rhythm and that sort of thing. So it was hard to know what sort of team was coming into the qualifiers. It was hard to kind of judge just based on the games previously. But I mean, is there much of a distinction between a, you know, a home and away version of the Czechs?
Well, the only distinction that I can make is usually they would play like a holding midfielder. Like, they definitely pack it. It's a four, you know, like it's a 4-5-1 formation that they play. And, you know, I would say that that if they're playing against a good team, they'd probably have a holding midfielder in there. Against Estonia, they went all out attack and they played Tony Barak, who plays for Verona. They played him behind Sheik, and it seemed to work really well. But to be honest, Russ, are there any away games at the moment? Because, you know, with there being no fans in the ground, I'm just wondering whether that actually affects it at all. I mean, they're very, very confident. They're very confident about coming to Wales and getting 3 points. Yeah, they're very confident.
And is that based on on a more of a belief in how they're playing and how well they can play. And you know, getting a draw against Belgium would increase that expectation. Perhaps that's not unfair, or is that maybe more a reflection on what they think they know about us or where they perceive us to be?
Yeah, I remember reading an interview with Tomáš Souček, and he said, "Well, Belgium are the favourites, but there's no reason why we can't take points off them, and you know, Wales we could beat quite easily." So you know, like I think they underestimate us. I think that's for sure. They underestimate us. But do you know, like all I can see is that the core of the team is a Slavia Prague team.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at Sofal and Souček, they both came from Slavia. Central defender Kudela, who was involved in that incident with Kamara at Rangers. Bozil, also at the back. Provod, who's a left winger. You know, like a lot of, you know, there's a lot of Slavia in the team. And Slavia have dominated the domestic scene in the Czech Republic for the last, I would say, four seasons. You know, so, you know, having a core of players that have played for Slavia, I think it just adds to their confidence because they're not used to losing.
Yeah, looking at this now, the 15 players that took to the field against Belgium, I think 7 of them are from that Slavia team.
Yeah.
So you're talking, you know, more or less 50% of the team, and certainly 5 of the starting lineup as well. So, and then another couple on the bench came on. So yeah. You know, so people will be familiar with, obviously, with Kufal. Most people will be familiar with Kufal and Souček at West Ham. You got Verdra, Burnley as well. Mm-hmm. He came on against Belgium. So you know, you mentioned a couple of names there. Anyone else that people want to be looking out for?
Do you know, like I hadn't really seen him play that much before, but they've got a young player who's playing for Slavia called Lukáš Provod, who was the star man. He was the star man yesterday, and I thought he was playing on the right hand side, but he just popped up everywhere. He was swapping wings with Yankdor, who plays for Sampdoria, another skillful, tricky player. And I would say that we ought to be really worried about Patrick Schick, actually, if he plays. I haven't got confirmation that the four players that play their football in Germany will be able to join up with the squad. But seeing that James Lawrence has, I can't really see that they won't be joining the Czech team as well. And Patrick Schick scores, you know, 1 in 2 for the national team. And he's just a very busy striker. You know, like Vítor is kind of like a little bit small, runs around a lot. And Patrick Schick is a tall, strong player that can hold the ball up. He can run with the ball. He's tricky as well. You know, like so I would say that he's, you know, he's the player to watch. And, you know, Souček has been, I mean, everybody's seen him at West Ham. He just seems to ghost into the area. And I think I saw the other day that he is level with the top number of goals scored in the league by a Czech player, I think. So I think it was Baroš or Budiger or somewhere like that. You know, like so you know, like Souček and Schick probably together. I mean, who else is there? I think Yankto, who plays for Sampdoria, is an excellent player as well. Yeah, Barak, who plays for Verona, he'll probably, if they play an attacking formation, I'd imagine that he would play behind Patrick Schick. But really, I just compare it to Wales because, you know, like, I don't think many of us know too much about the Czech team. You know, like, they wouldn't have known anything about Joe Allen. They probably know nothing about Ethan Ampadu, you know, like, so there are players that we have that could easily match them. And I think that that's what we have to do. We have to try and match the way that they play, because I'm sure that they'll be high pressing like they did against Belgium. Won't be giving us much time on the ball. Sorry, you could probably hear it in my voice. I'm worried.
Well, you know, we said for years, and it's the hope that kills us. So let's not get too hopeful. But Provod is the player that scored, isn't it, against Belgium?
Yeah, cracking finish. And he was everywhere.
Yeah.
He reminded me a little bit of Pavel Nedved. You know, in the way that he was moving around the pitch, so much energy, and he's only played like 4 or 5 times for the national team, I think.
I was thinking it was his 6th cap, I think. Well, I mean, comparing it to someone like that with someone like Nedved is high praise indeed in the Czech stakes, I should imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think sometimes with these countries, And there might be people that study these things a little more forensically than well, certainly myself. I'll hold my hands up. But and we were saying this back before Christmas when we talked about the Bulgaria games, and that Bulgaria team's a shadow of its of that team that we remember as oldies in the 90s, yeah. Of course. It is probably an unfair comparison. No doubt they've probably got their own press and their own fans doing that comparison as well, which doesn't help. You know, I feel like sort of Welsh rugby and comparing it to the 70s for years, wasn't it? Can become a bit of an albatross. But you can, certain names do become very household, and I think of the Czech Republic of that kind of 90s 2000, you're thinking of Poborský and Baroš, Jan Koller was a nightmare to play against. Nedved, Kuka was the way, he's put a little bit earlier again. I'm trying to think who else. Peter Petrček, of course, in goal. Rizicki. There's some very top players. I mean, so most of those have all retired. I think all of those have retired from international duty, at least. Yeah. So there are caps in that team, but there's also quite a few, like you said, like Provodin, who are just still at the start of their international career. So something to prove.
Do you know how Cookie did with Wales? He just built up this team spirit where, everybody was excited to go to the camps, and that's why, a lot of our success was down to, creating that kind of like that club culture at international level. And I think Yaroslav Shilhavy, who took over from Karol Yarolin as coach, has created this similar kind of thing. Everybody loves playing for their country again. And I think under Karol Yarolin, they weren't winning games. They're only winning games against, against your San Marinos, against your Moldovas, so he's created the same kind of camp that we had for, 2016. And this is why, I looked at the squad, and you looked at them after the Belgium game, and you could see that they were visibly disappointed at not getting the 3 points, which shows supreme confidence, in their ability. And they're missing, they were missing the four guys from the Bundesliga. They're missing Alex Kral, who plays for CSKA here at Moscow, who's also a superb player. And, the player that I have, obviously big hopes for for the Czech Republic is a guy called Adam Hložek, who's actually he started at Brno and then moved to Sparta at a very young age. And he's absolutely superb. And these players are missing at the moment. They're not even in the team. So if you ask any Czechs, I think they would say that the future's bright. Let's just hope it's after Tuesday.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I press you for a prediction?
Would you know, Russ, I would say my heart, I can only speak from the heart. My heart says that we will win 2-0, as long as we play Kiefer Moore up front and Wayne Hennessy as keeper.
Hennessy's got to come back,
definitely. I think he would have saved that second goal, actually. I think he would have got his hand to it. So.
Well, because he's probably got, another 3 or 4 inches on board. He's a giant, isn't he? He looked like the Statue of Liberty, didn't he, in that big grey kit and with flashes of blue the other night. No complaints there. And I did wonder whether Moore not starting against Belgium, he was being kept for the second qualifier, get a run out. He did seem to have a little bit of a limp on him. I haven't quite got to the bottom of whether there's anything more underlying there or more serious, but against Mexico he was sort of having a limp at one stage. I think he got trodden the toe or something.
Probably, I think,
don't know what the incident was.
Some ankle problem was there, I think, or that's what I heard today.
You'd bring him back in, would you?
Definitely, Kiefer and Hennessy, definitely I'd bring them both back. And I wouldn't mind even seeing Ben Cabango start instead of Lawrence at the back as well, Russ. We need some height. Lawrence is a tall guy as well, isn't he? But we definitely all need some height against Czech set pieces. I'd like to see Cabango there.
I thought Cabango was strong in the air yesterday, for sure, against Mexico. Yeah. I thought he was poor to begin with, to be honest. I don't like to dig players out, and he's a kid, and I'm sure if he was starting alongside an Ashley Williams or, A. James Chester or Joe Roden, for that matter, makes all the difference when you first start, which is what it was. Let's bear it in mind. He got pulled out of position a couple of times, and a couple of players got past him a couple of times, but he grew into the game for sure. And I think that's one of the things with all players. You saw it with Ashley in his early days, made mistakes, got caught out, but seemed to kind of be able to learn and to build on it and to forget about it. And that's a key thing. He seemed to have that quality, and I think that is a good sign.
He starts very slowly for Swansea. Takes him a little while to get into the game. He just, yeah, and then I've seen it throughout the season, actually. He makes a couple of mistakes at the beginning, settles down a bit, and then superb. And I think that, you know, like maybe he's nervous. Maybe he's nervous before, you know, like in the first 5 or 10 minutes. You know, playing for your country can't be can't be the easiest thing. So yeah. But I'd love to see him in, because I'm not a big fan of James Lawrence. Not that he's done anything wrong, but I think there's a mistake in him as well.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I thought Belgium was probably his best performance for us, mind. I thought he did okay. He's got that left-footed option, isn't it? And I think that's what's sort of going for him on occasions. I'm still not quite sure what his best position is either, whether he is a centre-back, whether he's a midfielder, whether he's maybe playing in that. He's probably maybe not as quick or as mobile as to play wing-back.
I saw him play a couple of times for Trenčín. He was in Slovakia for a while. He was playing centre-midfield then. You know, that was his role. So
centre-half is a new position for him,
right? Yeah, he was playing there that put him on our radar, but he's not really, I'm not aware that he's been given much of a chance. I can't recall him being given much of a chance in that position for us.
Would you bring Chris Gunter back?
So I got a mate who's a Charlton fan, and was sort of saying to Joe how's Chris Gunter getting on. You know, I hope you're looking after him, because you realise you've got a bona fide living legend there. And and of course, for a while, with people like Johnny Williams, of course, and Adam Matthews, I think, is there. There was a bit of a Charlton Welsh core there, if you like. And so talking about the players, and he'd sort of said, look, he's not pulling up many trees, but he said, to be honest, not that many people are. But he dropped into conversation, this has gone back about 6 weeks ago, saying he's actually been playing at centre-back, so maybe he's out of position. I sort of said, well, he has played there for Wales a couple of times. But I think what's funny is, you know, you look back that night in the qualifiers in the 2015 to Belgium, he played centre back, and he was imperious that night. But then I also remember him playing centre back against Mexico out in America, and he was useless. So it's feast or famine with him. Yeah, I think he was excellent last night. I do wonder. I don't think Mepham's got it nailed on at all. Centre back, the right centre back of three, if that's how we're going to go. So I do wonder whether Gunter might have played himself into it.
Do you know what worries me? You know, if we play five at the back with the wing backs kind of like going forward, I'm a bit worried that we'll leave a lot of space in the wide areas. And, you know, like the Czechs really have this, you know, Provod plays on the left, then you've got Jankto on the right, and they switch. And they're both wide players, really, you know, like, and I worry that, you know, like if we're going to play five at the back, which we will, we've got to make sure that we're covering for that, because I think they'll try and exploit those wide areas.
And there were a lot of balls that came in from the right against Belgium.
Yeah.
You think of the chance that Lukaku missed. Mm-hmm. Obviously Hazard's goal, cross that led to the penalty. No, all that's coming from the right. And there were a couple of other chances as well. So I thought we were a bit casual on occasions. Now, whether that's because it's a new combination down the left with Nico Williams and James Lawrence, they've probably never played alongside each other.
Yeah.
You know, literally alongside one another. Maybe it's that Nico is still young. They're both relative novices at international football. They're up against a quality side. Mounier got forward time after time after time. But of course, in the second half, we pegged him right back. Yeah. And we did more of a number on their fullbacks than they did on us, or as they did on us in the first half. So that would be a concern. If they've got out and out wide players, not just players that can fill and drift into space. Mm-hmm. I mean, De Bruyne is an unfair comparison. I mean, he's just a class act, of course. But players that can just drift into that space and fill it and occupy it and make use of it is one thing. Players who are kind of out and out, just, you know, line hugging wide players, they can make a lot of use of that space. And that would be a worry.
Patrick Sheik's good with his head. You know, like, so I mean, these are the concerns I have. However, you know, like at the back, the Czechs have this Chelustka, who played for Sunderland. I think he played left back for Sunderland in, you know, the team that was relegated from the Premier League all those years ago. You know, so he wasn't really, I mean, he didn't really perform for them. And they've got Andre Kudela, who we're still not sure if he's going to travel, because Slavia have said he can't travel to Wales because, you know, they're worried whether he'll be interviewed by the police about the incident up in Glasgow a couple of weeks ago. Right. The players wanted him to go, and I read today that he was still training with the team, so it might be that they're, you know, it's going to be a late decision on him. But, you know, Slavia and their lawyers don't want him to go to Cardiff, and if he doesn't play, I'd imagine that they would bring in David Zimmer from Slavia, who's played one game. I think he came on for 10 minutes against Estonia. And they love him. I have to say that the Czech press absolutely love him. He's, you know, he's come from Signal Olomouc to Slavia this year, and you know, like, he's been excellent. So You know, so we've got, there's a bit of, you know, youthfulness there as well. You know, and I'm just wondering, you know, with Chelustka, who was, well, who wasn't very good against Lukaku, but who was, who is, and, you know, with Kiefer up there, I just think that he would, you know, he'd be a handful for anybody. Mm. And one thing about the Belgium game was that, you know, like when the ball was going forward, it wasn't sticking, was it? And it allowed them, you know, like to pick up the ball and to attack again. Although, as you said, they didn't do it so much in the second half. But still, you know, it'd be good to have Kiefer up there. And he looks full of confidence. You know, that goal he scored against Mexico yesterday was lovely. It was, you know, yeah. It's just beautiful. So,
a sign of a player full of confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, playing on his club ground as well, so he's familiar with the surroundings. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is a shame, obviously, that the fans aren't there. And I'm sure Cudela would be getting a hard time given
yes, if we were definitely. There.
You know, and I suppose given the nature of what he's alleged to have done, mm-hmm. Or said to Glenn Cameron, mm-hmm. probably now is the appropriate moment to condemn the abuse that Rabbi Matondo and Ben Kabango have had, which is appalling. Such a depressing thing to see happening in this day and age. You know, had fans been there, I can imagine, I mean, I'm not expecting Rabbi Matondo to play, certainly not to start on Tuesday, but Ben Kabanga was, you know, probably in the mix. It would be great for Wales fans to be able to offer him, you know, support, yeah. given the abuse that he had.
Yeah.
Such a shame that it's just, you know, stepping out in front of no fans again. But, you know, we are where we are. We'll be there before too long.
It is sad. I mean, I don't know how it is for you on social media, you know, but you know, we've all had some idiots, you know, like, you know, on there. And as everybody says, I mean, you want the platforms like Twitter and Instagram and, I don't know, TikTok or Snapchat, whatever they use to, you know, to step in and to do something, because it is disgusting. You know, it's absolutely disgusting.
Well, I mean, Rabbi Tonda's made a point himself of saying he's not allowed, and they will clamp down extremely hard on him on Instagram if he posts any action of himself in a game, because he individually doesn't have the rights to. That's clamped down harder than much of the abuse or any of the abuse that he receives simply because of the colour of his skin. I think, you know, most players are probably big enough to be able to accept that, you know, if they haven't played well, then they're going to get a bit of stick, mm-hmm. based on the performance. And yeah. I guess that comes with the territory, but that's really the limit, the absolute limit to where it should stop.
Of course.
You know, you look at someone like Rabbi as well, he's posting, he posts on social media, both English and Welsh as well. A kid that's come from the Congo to Cardiff via Liverpool, that should be something. And don't get me wrong, that is celebrated by an awful lot of people. So let's not necessarily get things out of kilter, out of balance. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you've got someone go into that effort, really embracing language and culture to the extent that he does, and you can see it means an awful lot to him. It's amazing that there's people who want to give that sort of abuse.
Did the abuse come from?
By all accounts, well, I think most of it's come from Mexicans, okay. And I guess that probably should be sort of said as well. Yeah. I'm not aware of anything necessarily from Welsh fans, but you're going to see it with Liam Williams in the rugby, for example, the other week, some of the abuse that he got. So
it's good to see so many, you know, so many people come out in support of both Kabango and Rabbi, you know, like, and also, you know, like I think the FAW posted something on social media today, didn't they, as well? You know, like, I mean, there's so many people that support them, you know, like, it's just these idiots that seem to think that they can, they can say anything, you know, behind, you know, like, you know, behind the computer. It's just, that's frustrating.
And that's the thing. Early on in lockdown last year, I saw Ben training on his own in Hayley Park. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this on these before. And my children go to the same primary school that he went to.
Yeah.
They're very proud of him. Mm-hmm. And his younger brother's a terrific sportsman as well.
Rugby player, isn't he?
His father, yeah. Really strikingly talented. Grease Lightning fullback, mm-hmm. as well, I think. Fullback and winger. I think Theo, I think, is his name. Anyway, Ben Kabanga goes training, and I sort of see this, and of course there's not many people out and about at the start of lockdown. I can see this kind of lad, and I just thought, this, you see people, I see people running in the park, and I've even been known to do it once or twice myself. There's something that marks out an amateur runner and a professional athlete, but, you know, quite clearly. And I can look at this guy, and I kind of, something familiar about this lad, and I'm getting close, and I thought, I'm not going to pry, but he's got the gear on his arm, and he's got I can see sort of something that I'm guessing some sort of GPS that's kind of taped to his sort of neck, it was, and he was in this kind of sleeveless shirt. I'm thinking, this guy looks a bit of a unit, and as I got closer, I could sort of see that it's him, and he was just doing these runs around the pitch, basically. And he was going sort of quicker, faster, stopping, quicker, faster. So there was clearly a routine to it as well, you know. And he's a big unit. I hadn't quite appreciated quite how big he is, because I saw him on loan at the New Saints. They were playing at Cardiff Met when he went on loan there. Looked really quite raw, actually. And I wasn't struck by his physical presence at that point, but he's obviously done a little bit of growing in the probably, what's that, 3 years since maybe? Yeah. That reminded me yesterday, as I heard about the abuse he was getting, or sorry, this morning, these people wouldn't go anywhere near him to say any of this to his face if they saw him running in Ailey Park. But he's he looks like he can look after himself, but in this respect, he shouldn't have to. But so yeah, 2-0.
I'm saying 2-0.
I don't think we can afford to drop points.
Definitely
I think
we need three.
I mean, they're 4 points ahead of us already in the group. And if that were to turn to seven, I think that's too big a hurdle for us over the course. And I know we've got the playoff and the fallback of that, etc., the safety net, but I do think we've got to go for a win. And I'm not for one second thinking that we wouldn't. I hope that little bit of pressure maybe doesn't tell on some of the younger players, but you want your old heads to step up. And again, you know, maybe that's another reason for picking Gunter, perhaps.
The biggest weakness that I can see in this Czech side is definitely at the back. I don't think they have the pace that we have. So, you know, I'm absolutely sure that, you know, if we can get Dan James supporting Kiefer if he plays, I think we can find a way in behind their defenders. Because so far, he's very solid. He's a solid player. He's been great for West Ham, but he's not blessed with pace. And then on the other side, you've got Bozil, who was actually linked with Swansea when we were last in the Premier League. And he's also not blessed with pace. Czechs are very, very clever footballers. So there'll be a lot of tactical fouling. There'll be a lot of winning free kicks and things like that. But if we can use our pace to get behind those two and keepers in the middle, I fancy us to score. And to score not just one, but two, as I said in the prediction. This is where I see their weakness. Midfield, they're very strong. And if Patrick Sheik's on form, then whoever's marking him. And of course, you know, Joe Rodon was fantastic against Lukaku on Wednesday night. Then they've got their hands full. So this is where I see it, Russ. I think if we can get behind those defenders, then I'm pretty sure that we can hurt them and, we'll create some goals. Goal-scoring chances, sorry.
Maybe draw a couple of cards early on as well. Puts a seed of doubt, isn't it? That's what you want.
Yeah.
As well, I suppose another sort of marker it potentially could have if we were to beat them is, of course, the Czechs are there, as you said, at the Euros. You know, so if we were to end up, mm-hmm. you know, all being well, we'll get out of the group. But if any, you know, if our pass were to cross in that tournament, then in the knockout, to go in having beaten them as well and got that one over them, if you like, that would be a great thing as well.
Yeah.
So it's a weird dynamic. I said this in the preview, guys, tonight. It's a weird dynamic to have these qualifiers before a tournament, whereas usually we would just be having lots of friendlies, just trying little things out, fairly low key, lots of substitutions. Whereas actually, you've got the white hot heat of these qualifiers, and for us as well, in a really taut group because it's one team fewer, that kind of margin for error is even smaller. It's a really interesting dynamic, which I think is good for us, because I think it blooding players now, not in friendlies before a tournament, but actually, which some players are frankly going to miss out on, so they, you know, their next chance doesn't come around potentially till sort of September, October, November. Actually, there's meaningful games for lots and lots of reasons over and above the Euro selection.
You know, my big hope is the Red Wall are allowed to travel to Prague, and that we'll all be together in the Slavia Stadium watching us beat them again for the second time.
And that's what's that? That's, you say, is that a couple of hours away from you?
In Brno? Oh yes, 2 hours from me, which is nothing really in the Czech Republic. And I used to travel from London to Swansea, and it was 2 hours 45 minutes. It used to seem, you know, to last forever, you know, like I hated those journeys. But here in the Czech Republic, just traveling 2 hours from Brno to Prague is nothing, you know. Like if you want to go to, I don't know, up to Pilsen, you're talking about, you know, like a 4 hour journey. So
it'd be good if we could be out there. You're absolutely right, Ralph. I'm really grateful for your time. I'll let you have the rest of your Sunday evening to yourself. Game's still 48 hours away. I'm all excited for it now.
Yeah, me too. Let's hope we get these 3 points. I mean, it's a big, you know, this is my adopted country, so usually I have to say I want the Czechs to win, but there are two games where I hope they get nothing.
Yes, absolutely. Hear, hear to that one.
Thanks for inviting me.
No, you're welcome. Any shout outs before you go?
Oh, any shout outs to anybody? Well, no. Just come on Cymru, that's all I say. That's all I say. Come
like
on
it,
Cymru.
Like it.
And of course, you know, like I'm sure that that Ian, Derek and Mark will be listening to this, and anybody that really knows me, you know, like I have to say I'm missing Wales at the moment. So 3 points would do me nicely on Tuesday. But thanks for us, I really appreciate it, mate.
We were supposed to get Ian on the other night, and he was going to give us a bit of an insight into Ben Cabango, for example. That was one of the things, and he couldn't sort his computers out. So maybe next time you can give him a hand on the technology.